Well, if you've been with us, you know that we've been in the middle of a series through the Bible titled The Bible, A True Story. And over the last 12 weeks, we found ourselves in the book of Acts, which I've shared numerous times, is my favorite book of the Bible. That's why we've spent probably a little extra time in Acts than we have in maybe some of the other books of the Bible. And today, we're actually going to be finishing up Acts. And we're going to continue to look at this journey that Paul's been on for several weeks now. If you remember, the Jewish religious leaders had made all kinds of false accusations about Paul, and they were wanting to put him on trial and basically have him killed, and they tried all sorts of ways to do that. But Paul had appealed to Caesar as a Roman citizen, and so by law he had to be sent to Rome to go before Caesar. And so he is now officially on his way to Rome, which is actually where he planned to go 6 years prior to this. It was all the way back in Acts 19 when Paul first talked about going to Rome. I want to read that scripture to you this morning. In Acts 19:21, it says this: Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia. After I have been there, he said, I must visit Rome also. I must visit Rome. And as I looked up that phrase, I must visit Rome, the Greek word for must there is the word die, and it's spelled D-E-I, though, and it's translated into being absolutely necessary. So Paul is saying it's absolutely necessary. You know, this isn't some cool city that Paul just wants to stop in along the way. Yeah, I want to go to Rome, right? You know, I want to hang out there. No, this is a place where he feels that God has called him to go and to preach the gospel. And so he was saying, I must go to Rome. It's absolutely necessary. But the thing is, when Paul said this, he had no idea it would take him 6 years before he would get there. And he had no idea that he would get there on a prison transport, that that's the way he would be heading to Rome. And so this morning we're going to pick up as Paul begins this journey by boat once again. And it doesn't quite go the way he expected. Now, at the beginning of Acts 27, which is where we're going to read from this morning, Paul, along with many other prisoners, they board this boat that is ultimately heading towards Rome. Now, something that we need to realize is that this wasn't a short trip, and they probably weren't going to originally stay on that boat the whole time. It would take them from different ports, they'd get on different boats, and it would actually take months before they would arrive in Rome because of the time of year and when you could travel on the seas and all that kind of stuff. And the first 12 verses actually kind of share the route and some of the cities that they stop in along the way. And from the very beginning of this trip, they find themselves running into difficult weather and rough seas. And at one point, Paul actually warns the captain of the ship that if they continue, it could be disastrous. He told him that they could end up losing the ship, they could end up losing all the cargo, and maybe lose some of his crew, some of the men, some of the people that were on board. But the captain refused to listen to Paul. Instead, he listened to the pilot and the owner of the ship, and he decides to press on. And they were hoping to get to Phoenix, where they would stay through the winter before then heading on to Rome. But like Paul warned them, they found themselves in this massive storm. And it was so bad that they began to throw stuff overboard and did everything that they could to keep this ship from sinking, to keep the ship afloat. And that's where we're going to pick up the story this morning, is we're going to read Acts chapter 27, verses 19 through 29. Now, it says this: On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, Men, You should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea, when about midnight the sailors sensed that they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found out that it was only 90 feet deep. Fearing that they would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight." And that's where we're going to stop here in the scriptures this morning. Now, if you've been with us through this study lately, you know that Paul has been experiencing storms for quite some time now, the storms of life. And now here in our scripture this morning, he is actually experiencing a literal storm that he is in the middle of on this boat. Now, if you were to read to the end of this chapter, you would see that Paul and everyone, every single person on the ship survives. And that's thanks to Paul. Because they listened to him and what the Lord had spoken to him, not the first time, but the last time in the end when he was telling them what they needed to do to survive. And so they were able to weather the storm. And this morning, I want to talk about weathering the storms in our own life. Because the reality is we all experience storms in our lives. And all of us, I think, even right now, are in the midst of storms as we deal with COVID, as we deal with racial injustice, as we deal with political chaos and division. And I believe that we can learn some things from these scriptures this morning about weathering the storms, about even weathering these storms that we're in right now. Now, the main scriptures that kind of brought me to this place of what we're going to talk about this morning is verses 28 and 29. They're the last two verses that we read there. And I just want to read them to you one more time this morning. They say this: "They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight." Now it tells us here that they dropped their anchors. And these four anchors, they helped stabilize the ship through the night in the midst of this storm. Now, the truth is, I don't know a lot about boats or ships, okay? When I was in the Marine Corps, I only spent a few weeks on a ship doing some ops while I was with recon, but that was the only time I actually spent on a ship. And my father-in-law, he actually owned a sport fishing boat, but I was only able to go on it a few times. As a matter of fact, one of those times, I took a turn at the wheelhouse. We were traveling through the night and needed someone just to kind of watch and keep an eye. The boat was kind of on a slow course moving forward, and you just had to make sure that you didn't run into anything, right? And so I took a watch at 2 a.m. in the morning, just kind of making sure that this boat wouldn't run into anything. And it was kind of interesting because as I was up there getting ready for the watch, my first time doing this, my father-in-law tells me this story of how his younger son, my wife's brother, when he was a teenager, took the wheel through the night one time when they were doing a family thing, and was telling me how he almost ran over this little skiff. I guess some people out in the Mexican waters were out far in a little tiny skiff and were just fishing, and the boat almost took them out. And so after telling me that story, I am so focused in making sure that I don't run into a little skiff, that I don't run into an iceberg or something, right? Yeah, like you really would in San Diego, but you know what I mean. Afraid of hitting something to cause this boat to sink or damage to something else. And so I'm so focused on ahead, and as the boat's going, bam, bam, The next thing I knew, I found myself reaching for a garbage can and puking my guts out. And so I had to wake up my father-in-law and say, hey, I can't finish my shift. I'm puking. And so that's my short-lived life taking the wheelhouse for my father-in-law. And so I am no expert when it comes to boats or ships at all. But I will say I do know just a little bit about anchors, and that's what we're talking about this morning. And one of the things that I know about anchors is this, is that the cable or the rope that's attached to that anchor needs to be long enough for the anchor to reach the bottom, right? Because if not, if the anchor doesn't reach the bottom, then it's not going to do anything. The boat's just going to pull the anchor through the water and will go all over the place. I also know that the type of anchor that you use in different areas is important. Now, I know that there are many different types of anchors, but there are two modern types of anchors that we generally use on boats today. There's one that's called the mushroom anchor, and that's because it kind of, if you turn it upside down, it kind of looks like a mushroom, right? And this is often used in areas with soft bottoms, and it's really about the weight. This thing is just really heavy. Those mushroom anchors are really heavy, and the weight sits on the bottom and holds the boat in place. But then there's the fluke anchor. And the fluke anchor, it's usually a lighter anchor, but it actually has kind of these claws or hooks that are designed to grab or dig into the surface bottom to hold the ship tightly in place. And so each of these anchors can be very effective if used in the right way, in the right places. And in these scriptures, these four anchors that they put out helped them to hold strong through the night in the midst of the storm. And so the question I think that we need to ask ourselves this morning is, what is it that we anchor ourselves to in the midst of the storms? What is our anchor, or what are our anchors? In times of struggle and difficulty, in times of facing things like COVID, things like division within our country, when things are chaotic, what are those anchors that help us stay strong? Now, the truth is, these anchors could be different for all of us. If each of us took time to think about it, and if each of us were to kind of spend some time to think about what are the anchors, what are the foundational things that we hold on to when we're going through difficult times, what are those things that help us? I think we would probably come up with all sorts of different answers. You know, our faith, our family, our friends, right? There are many different answers. And for many of us, there might be more than four anchors that we think of or come up with. But this morning, I want to share with you four anchors that I believe these scriptures point us to. Four anchors that I think, if we look at these anchors, they will help us weather the storms of our own life. And so, let me share them with you this morning. The first anchor that I think we see here in these scriptures is this. I call it the anchor of God's power. God's power. You see, as we look at this storm that Paul and the people on this ship found themselves in, we find that it was a pretty powerful storm. It was raging on. In verse 20, it says, neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging. It was a powerful storm that if we were to read on to the end of this chapter, as I mentioned, we'd find out that eventually it caused the ship to break into pieces. That's how bad this storm was. And the amazing thing to me is that as powerful and as devastating as this storm was, every person on that ship survived, just like God said to Paul that they would. And I think it's because God is more powerful than any storm. He is more powerful than anything that the enemy can bring against us. COVID-19, it's a devastating virus. The racial injustices that we've seen in our country, it's a huge horrible injustice, the division that we're seeing in a nation that calls itself the United States of America. It's heartbreaking. But the reality is, God is bigger than all these things. He's bigger than all these difficulties. He's more powerful than anything that the enemy or the world can throw at us. And we have to hold on to the anchor of God's power. Because like we're told in 1 John 4:4, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world, which means there is nothing more powerful than God. And we can trust in His power in our life to help us through whatever storms we find ourselves up against. What storms are you experiencing in your lives today? What are the challenges and difficulties that have you shaken in this world right now? We have to give them to the Lord. We need to grab hold of the reality of the power that we have through Jesus Christ. Because He has the power to stop the storm right in its tracks if He chooses to. Or He has the power to help us stay anchored in the midst of the storms that rage around us. Either way, we have to cling to the anchor of God's power to help us through the storms of life. And then the next anchor that I think we see in these scriptures is what I call the anchor of God's presence. In verses 23 and 24 it says, "Last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid.'" You see, when everyone is freaking out and thought the situation was hopeless, Paul was calm and confident because he knew that God was right there with him. And the fact is, God is with all of us. Now, we may not feel like He's there. We may not feel like we can see Him, but He sees us and He is right with us every single step of the way. I know many people struggle with this reality. Oftentimes to us, God feels far or distant when we're in the midst of struggles or trials, when we're going through difficulties. But it's important that we realize He is right there with us through it all. The fact is, we never go through anything alone because He is always there. We're reminded of this in Hebrews 13:5, when it tells us that He will never leave us or forsake us. We can't forget the fact that His Spirit is alive in us, right? He's in us. So we really can't go anywhere without Him. He is there. It's just a matter of us acknowledging it. It's just a matter of us reaching out to Him and allowing Him to be present in our lives. It's really us acknowledging His presence in that moment. And so the question we have to ask ourselves here is this, is when we're going through storms, do we turn to God or do we turn to something else? Who do we turn to in the storms? God should be our anchor. He should be the one that we turn to. He makes Himself available to each of us in the same way that He did here to Paul. And so are we listening to Him? Are we allowing Him to be our strength and encouragement? All throughout Acts, we see God there for Paul in the midst of the challenges and storms that he faces. Let me just give you some examples here. In Corinth, Paul was experiencing abuse and difficulties from many of the Jews. But listen to what the Lord says to him. In Acts 18:9-10, it says this. "One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. 'Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you.'" God was reminding Paul in this scripture that He was with him and that he didn't need to fear. I wonder if some of us need to be reminded of that this morning. I believe that God is saying that to all of us. Do not fear, because God is with you. He wants to say, I am with you this morning. I am with you through whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through. I am there with you. He wants to speak that to us this morning. And then in Acts 22, 17 and 18, it says, when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking. Quick, he said to me, leave Jerusalem immediately because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I love this because God is right there and he warns Paul. He helps him get out of that situation that could have been harmful to him, that could have cost him his life. That this is why it's so important that we're taking time to listen to the Lord's voice, because he wants to help us navigate through the challenges and difficulties of life. He's right there with us, and we need to be listening for his guidance and direction, because there are times when we listen to the Lord that he can save us from unnecessary heartache in our lives. We face difficulties and struggles in this world regardless, but there are times when we listen to the Lord that he can save us from some of that heartache. And then in Jerusalem, after facing the Sanhedrin and people trying to kill him, in Acts 23:11, it says, the following night the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. And God is reminding Paul that he is in control of his life, that he has a plan for Paul's life, and he's with him in the midst of these storms to help him get where God wants him to go. God's presence is our anchor in these times. He's with us in the midst of the storms, and he is there to help us get where he desires us to be, which leads me to my next anchor this morning, which is this. I call it the anchor of God's purpose. In verse 24, it says, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. You see, God had a plan and purpose for Paul's life. He was to go to Rome and to share the gospel. And God wasn't going to let a little storm get in the way of his plan for Paul. We've seen this time and time again throughout Acts. How many times have we seen people try to kill Paul, try to take care of him once and for all, but they couldn't do it? Why? Because we have to remember that there isn't anyone or anything out there that can stop the purpose and plan of God. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do. Nothing can stop the will of the Lord. COVID cannot stop the will of the Lord. Racism cannot stop the will of the Lord. Whoever is or isn't in office cannot stop the will of the Lord. You see, as Christians, we need to understand that God has a purpose and plan for our lives, and it may not always look the way we think it will. Paul didn't think it was going to take 6 years to get to Rome. He didn't know he was going to go to Rome on a prison ship. It may not look the way that we think it will look, but we have to trust in the Lord. Nothing can stop the will of the Lord. You see, as Christians, we need to understand that God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. And as long as we are following him, as long as we are listening and allowing him to guide us, we don't have to fear anything. We can trust and know that his plan and purpose will be accomplished in and through our lives, regardless of what goes on around us. Like I say time and time again, we live in a fallen, broken world, and bad things happen to everyone. Whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, whether you believe this or that, or whether you vote this way or that way, it doesn't matter. Bad things happen to everyone. We all face storms. We all deal with challenges and difficulties. But as believers who follow Jesus, we know that these storms, they're just temporary challenges. Temporary setbacks that we go through in the process of allowing God to fulfill his purpose in and through our lives. And this is an anchor that we can hold on to in the midst of the storms as we cling to him and his purpose for our lives. Amen. And then the final anchor we see here, this morning is this. It's the anchor of God's promises. Holding on to His promises. In verse 24 and 25 it says, God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me. Just as He promised, right? God told Paul that He would save the lives of everyone, and he held on to that promise. The thing we have to understand is that God is a God who always keeps His promises. Always. If He said it, it's going to happen. If He said it, we can hold tight to it. Now, we need to understand that it doesn't mean we won't get a little wet at times in the process, right? As I mentioned earlier, if we read to the end of the chapter, we would find that the ship ended up breaking apart. But regardless of how things may crumble around us, we can hold on to the fact that God is faithful to fulfill His promise, because even though that ship broke apart, every single one of them was saved. In the midst of the storm, we have to hold on to God's promises. To promises like Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future in Him," right? Promises like Matthew 11:28, which says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Doesn't that promise sound good right now? Let's grab a hold of that promise in these times and let God give us that rest. Promises like Isaiah 40:31, which says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Or promises like Romans 8:38-39, which says that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's Word right here, the Bible, it is full of amazing promises. And promises like these that we need to grab hold of in the midst of the storms. We need to allow these promises to anchor us and to help us stand strong in the midst of whatever we're facing. These promises will help us to keep going, to keep pushing through, even if everything around us seems to be crumbling. Paul, he knew the promise God had made to him, and he trusted in that promise to get him and all the people through the storm. And we need to let the promises of God get us through the storms. They need to be one of the anchors that help us hold our ground right now in these times. The fact is, we're all going to experience storms in our lives. And the question is, what are we anchored to? What's keeping us anchored in the midst of these storms? What do we hold on to when things don't go the way that we want them? What is it we hold on to when everything around us feels like it's crashing down? Who are we holding on to? Today I shared with you four anchors that all of us can grab onto. We can grab on to God's power. He is greater than anything in this world. We can grab onto His presence. He is right there with us. We can grab onto His purpose. He has a plan for our life, a hope, and a future. We can grab onto the promises, the things that He's spoken into us, our personal lives, or through His Word. And the fact is, there are many anchors and things of God that we can hold on to, far more than just the four here. And when the storms begin to rage and the world around us is shaking, we need to grab onto them. We need to do what Paul and these men on the ship did. We need to drop our anchors and pray for daylight. pray for God's daylight to come. We need to cling to what we know and pray for that strength to keep pressing on, to keep moving forward, because there isn't any storm we can't handle if we're anchored to the one who is mightier than the storm. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. And we thank you for your word this morning, Lord. As we face all sorts of struggles and trials and challenges in our life, as we're dealing right now with a pandemic and with racial injustice and with the division in politics and the presidency and all this stuff, Lord, there's so much going on, so many challenges, Lord, that we need you. It's so easy to get whipped around in the waves, to feel like we're sinking, to feel like we're flailing, to feel like there's no hope. But Lord, you are our anchor. You are the rock that we can cling to in the midst of the challenges and the difficulty. And so, Lord, my prayer this morning is for all of us, Lord, those that are listening right now, that as we're discouraged, as we're going through challenges and difficulties, that this morning would be an encouraging word to them, that you are our anchor, Lord, that we hold on to you, that we hold on to your power, that we hold on to your presence, Lord, that we hold on to your purpose and promises in our life, and we hold on to these things. And Lord, it's as we hold on to these things, it's what keeps us stable and strong in the midst of the storms and challenges that rage around us, Lord. Lord, sometimes you calm the storms, and other times you calm us in the midst of the storm as we are anchored to the one who brings peace, to the one who brings life, to the one who brings joy. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning, and my prayer is that all of us would just allow your word to speak to us right where we're at. What is it that we need to grab hold of today? What are those anchors that we need to reach for? Is it your presence? Is it being reminded that you are with us, Lord? Is it your promises, remembering the things that you've spoke to us? Lord, what is it that we need to grab on today? I pray that you help each of us to grab onto those things and to know that right now, in the midst of the storms and challenges that we face, you are the answer. And so we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're doing in and through lives, Lord. We give this word to you, and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.